Good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me, if you would, this morning in your Bibles to the book of Luke and chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. As you're turning there to Luke chapter 24, it's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, as Brother Will already spoke about in the introduction this morning. Again, it's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. Brother Will stated it very clearly, and it's so true. For Christians, it's the most important day of the year. Sometimes it's kind of maybe odd to say that, but in all honesty, we really need that day because truly we worship on Sunday per the teachings of the Bible, right? And we often call every Sunday Resurrection Day. But there's one day a year, one Sunday a year, when we specifically set apart to remember the Lord's resurrection. Sometimes Easter is associated with different things. But today we're going to talk about and think about the most important thing. The Lord, His resurrection and what He did. Easter has a kind of a special meaning for me. In fact, as I was just sitting there a few moments ago, I remembered it. I was baptized on Easter Sunday. And I had to sit there and quickly do the math. 29 years ago, I was baptized at the church that where I was when I first became a Christian, and I joined there some 29 years ago. So again, the day kind of has a special meaning for me. I always have an interesting memory about that day because it being end of March, first of April, depending on what time of year. Sometimes it's cold. A little bit cooler, and it was in North Georgia where I was at the time, and they forgot to turn the heater on in the water that day. So when I went into the water, wow, it was cold. So that's my Resurrection Day memory, going down the cold water and coming back out again. So that was interesting. So today we're not going to think about me, though. We're going to think about the Lord and what He did. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a tomb, like all men were at that time. 3 days later, though, His followers, His friends, went back to the tomb, and they found it empty. They found an empty tomb. And they asked the same question that we're going to talk about a little bit today. What happened? When they got there, they wondered what had happened. We know the story. We have the complete Word of God, the Bible. The Lord Jesus resurrected. Kind of a big word. Let's just say it this way. He came back to life. But how about His followers? How about those men, women, even children who followed Him? From the Bible, we know about the 12 apostles. We hear a lot about them, but there were many more than that. There were many more people who followed the Lord than just those men. What about us today? What do we believe? What do you believe? What do I believe? Do you believe that the Lord is alive right now? Can we trust God's Word? It's another thing we're going to think about for the next few moments. So today, in thinking about that, we're going to look at a story from the Bible and see two men who knew the Lord. They knew Him for some certain amount of time. They were followers of His. They were not of the 12, of the chosen apostles, but they were followers of the Lord. And we're going to see them, on Resurrection Day, on the day itself, and see what happens to them. Luke chapter 24, we'll start reading at verse 13. We're going to eventually read all the way down to probably verse 34, I think. But we'll take it up just a couple of verses at a time and think about what happens here. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll think about these two men. On that same day, again, the same day as the resurrection, later in the day, because the Bible story tells us early in the morning, Peter, some of the other apostles, some of the women who were followers of Jesus rushed down to the tomb to see what was going on there, and it was empty. That's what we call that, the resurrection day. Later on this same day is where we find two of His disciples going to a city called Emmaus. They're going from Jerusalem, that area, that's where Jesus was crucified, where He was buried, in that area, to Emmaus, about 12 kilometers away. Well, who are these men? Well, according to the Bible, we only know the name of one of them. If you go down to verse 18, it says, "And the one of them whose name was Cleopas." We don't know the other fellow's name. We just know they were two of the followers of the Lord. That's all we need to know. If we needed to know more information, God would have given it to us. Their names are not important. What they are doing and what they are saying is very important. Think about it. Look at verse 14 again. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Wow. Think about that. They're talking about the Lord. They're talking about what had happened, past tense, what had happened before this. Again, this is the day that they found the tomb empty. Much had happened before that. Wow. Just a short time before this, the Lord had been arrested, charged with crimes that he wasn't guilty of, found not guilty of those crimes, but yet taken and persecuted and beaten, treated horribly, and then what? Crucified. Again, crucifixion. What does that mean? It's a word we don't use today. It was a method of punishment during this era for criminals, a method of not just punishment, a method of death. Sometimes they might hang someone, or they might today use different methods. They inject serum into their body today to end their life. In this era, in this where Jesus was, it would take someone and nail them to a cross-shaped piece of wood, nail their hands there, nail their feet there, and their body would hang there until they died, out in the open, exposed. And people would come by and see. There was an open execution, if you will. And that's what happened to the Lord. Arrested, abused, tormented, and then he was crucified to the point of death. And these two men here, in verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." That's what they were talking about. They're referring back to just what had happened before this. But not just that. They were talking about other things. I don't know exactly. But they knew all about what had happened. And this is an important point. Their lives have been affected greatly. If they were followers of the Lord somewhere along the way, somewhere during those 3.5 years or so that the Lord, we call it his public ministry, that he traveled and crowds began to follow him. Somewhere in that time, these two men became some of his followers. And their lives have been affected greatly. Everywhere Jesus went, people's lives are affected. Everywhere. But now, this great teacher of theirs is gone. He's died. Or is he dead? That's the question. Or is he dead? Look at verse 9, which happens just a little bit before the verse 13 that we read. Verse 9, and it kind of starts off in the middle of a thought, but I'll explain it. Verse 9 says, "And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." Some people had gone. I mentioned this earlier. Some of his followers had gone early that morning to the sepulchre, the tomb, where he was buried. And they found it empty. The big stone was rolled away and guards were gone and there was no one in there. There was supposed to be the body of the Lord in there, but it was gone. And it says in verse 9, "They returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. Notice this. Unto the 11, that's the apostles, the closest followers, and to all the rest. All of the followers of the Lord were assembled there, heard the news. The tomb is empty. He is not there. That's some of the things that these two men were thinking about as they walked along the road that day. Wow. The tomb is empty. And hearing this and knowing all about this, two of them are traveling along together thinking about all that has happened. Wow. That's a lot to think about. That's a lot to think about today even. Let's move on. Verse 15. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him." So now we see a little further what's going on as they're traveling. A little bit further now on their journey, something else has happened here. They're discussing what's happened, again, had a great effect on their lives. They want to understand it all. I believe all of the followers of the Lord, the people we know from the apostles, Peter, James, John, the ladies, Mary, his mother Mary, the other Mary, they want to know what has happened. They want answers. I'm sure these gentlemen wanted answers too. They want answers to what's happened. As they walk and as they talk together, the Bible tells us Jesus appears with them. Wow. They don't know who he is. Remember, it says right here, but their eyes were held that they should not know him. How could that be? Well, this book we're reading here, this is the Bible. This is God's word. And God can do what God wants to do at any time. And God at this point beheld from them their understanding of who this was. Some people say, well, Jesus appeared as a different man. Well, I don't know. I don't know what he looked like at that point. All I know is my Bible tells me that they knew him before, but at this point, as he appeared to them, they just didn't recognize him. But it's for sure, it's certain that God has a purpose. Let's see what it is. They're traveling along. They don't know who's with them. Let me show you another verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Let's think about a thought here. I think this is a good thought. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus' words here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, the Lord says. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What is it talking about there? This is a great promise from the Lord. A great promise. The Lord will be with those who follow him, who desire to follow him, who want to know more, who want to understand more. When people seek to know the Lord, he's there. It's a promise. It's another great principle here. It says, two men reasoning together. They want to understand, just like these two men here in this story, they want to understand what has happened in their lives, in and around them. They want to understand that. And the Lord says, if you want to understand something, come to me and I will help you to understand it. Wow. Another principle here that I think is really important. If we truly want to find the Lord, seek after him, we will find him. We will find him. Come unto him and he will give you the answers that you need. Back to Luke chapter 24, again in verse 16, it says, but their eyes were held that they should not know him. They didn't know the Lord. Well, how could that be? They had followed him for some amount of time. I don't know how many years or months or days, but they knew him. They saw what had happened to him. How could they be? How could that be? Because the Bible says again, their eyes were held. God stopped them. God in his power and in his wisdom stopped them from understanding who was with them. Well, why would that be? They needed to learn something. Maybe they needed to learn this. Maybe they needed to learn to trust the Lord without sight. We can't see the Lord today, can we? He's not here physically. He was here on the earth physically for about 33 years or so. About 33 and a half years, we understand from the Bible. And many people saw him during that time. But that was a long time ago. 2,000 years ago or so. I can't see the Lord physically today. But I can still trust him. Why? Because of his word. I have nothing else but that. I don't need anything else but that. I think that's part of what the Lord is teaching these two gentlemen here. And we can learn it from looking at them too. Their eyes were held. God stopped them. But the Lord was there with them. We need to do what they needed to do. What's that? Trust the word of the Lord. Wholly depend on the Lord and his word. And you'll get the answer you need. Let's go on. Let's look at their actual meeting together here. See what happens. From verse 17. And he said unto them, the Lord says this, what manner of communications are those that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And they found not his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. We'll stop there. Wow. So we see here a meeting between two followers of the Lord, two men, and the Lord himself. They don't yet know it's the Lord. They just assume it's some stranger. Even during their conversation, they say, don't you know what's happened? Haven't you heard the news? Where have you been? You must not be from here. Don't you know what's happened? And they proceed to tell him the story of what's happened. Wow. Why would the Lord ask him this? Why would the Lord ask them something that he already knows? Because again, this is God. He knows everything. Why would he ask this question? Well, he wants them to tell him. A couple of different things there. Number one, the Lord wants us to talk to him. It's God's desire to talk to him. For us to talk to him. He wants us to communicate with him. What does he want us to do? He wants us to bring our burdens, our cares to him. That's his desire for us. Well, they go on. They tell him all that's happened. They tell him the whole story. Wow. They don't understand everything. They don't understand the purpose for it. They say, he's crucified. He died. Now what? Now what do we do? But look at verse 22. Yea, but they've been to this story. He's died. He's crucified. He's been buried. But verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company, other women who were followers, they made us astonished. Listen, they made us astonished when they went early to the sepulchre. As if we couldn't believe what they told us. Verse 23. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. When they recounted this story, these men and others there were astonished. It had happened just like the Lord said it would. Before the Lord was crucified, before he was buried, before he passed away from them, their sight, he had told them, these things will happen, and I will return. He told them that. Wow. What did they have to have? Well, simply said, they had to have faith. We use that word a lot in church. It's very important. The Bible uses that word a lot. It's very important. Simply said, it means complete trust in someone or something. Faith. Complete. Not partial. Complete trust. Sometimes, in English anyway, in my culture that I'm used to, we throw that word around. I have faith in you. I believe in your will. I have faith in you. But we hold back a little bit, really, a lot of times. We'll say that about someone, but faith in the Lord means just that. Faith. Believing. Believing. And these men needed faith. These disciples, like so many people, they wanted proof. But what they needed was faith. Let me take you to a very familiar passage, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that talks about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where we see faith and what it is. What its results are, the importance of it. The importance of faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that's that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith means believing what God says. Period. Faith means believing God. Back to our story. Let's skip on. Well, let's move on. We've gotten down to verse 24. Verse 25. Jesus now speaks to these two. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Boy, his first words back to them after they tell him this dramatic story is, you're a fool. You don't even believe what the Word says. The Word of the prophets. The Old Testament prophets who told of, he hasn't identified himself yet, but of my coming, of the Lord's coming, and he would come, and he would live this way, and he would be born this way, and he would die. You don't even believe what you've heard all your lives. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, they say? Wow. Sounds like the Lord is correcting them. You should believe the prophets, the Lord says. But in verse 26 there, we see God's wisdom. Christ had to suffer. He had to suffer. That's why it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He had to do this. He had to suffer. He had to suffer for you, for me, for them, for all people, for the sins of all men. But it goes on to say, for ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. The Lord's glory was the cross. There he died for our sins. There he fulfilled the purpose. Wow. Going on, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them. This again is the Lord talking to these two men. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Imagine walking along with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching you from the Bible all the things about himself. Wow, what an experience these two men have. Walking along with the Lord, and he's telling them, well, the prophet said this, and he's recounting all the prophecies concerning himself. Wow. Amazing. Notice he doesn't correct them now for not believing the women and the other disciples. They told the story of how the women and the other disciples told what they had seen. He doesn't even bring that up. He just says, don't you believe my word? Don't you believe the word? Going on, let's see, verse 28. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. So he said, as if he was going to continue on and leave them walking. Verse 29, but they constrained him. It's a strong word. It's like they pleaded with him. They constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Why do you think they really strongly wanted him to stay with him? Well, he's telling them the truth. He's giving them answers. Wow, doesn't God always do that? Give us the right answers? Verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. They're talking with the Lord and learning. But look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They're talking, and the Lord's teaching them. And instantly, in a moment, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished. Once they knew who he was, his lesson was over. His face-to-face lesson was different than his trust in my word lesson, you might say. Look at verse 32, and I love this verse. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Did not our heart burn within us? I think this shows to me something. It shows their intense love for the Lord. I believe these two men loved the Lord. But they just didn't understand. They had questions. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Wow. If you know the Lord and someone opens to you the scriptures, I mean, here it's the Lord himself, but if someone opens the scriptures, it ought to delight your heart. Your heart ought to burn with a good burning inside of you. And it did here. Wow. Yeah, they had questions. They had things they didn't understand. We all do. If you understand everything in the Bible, if there's someone who understands everything, every principle in the Bible, I'm afraid to meet that person. I don't think I can understand anything they said, probably. There's so much there. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or there's something wrong with you. It means keep learning, keep growing, keep going. What a wonderful thing. Here in the example of these men, they had questions again. Things they didn't understand. Maybe, just maybe their faith was a little weak. Remember we talked about faith earlier, how important it is. Without faith, Hebrews told us, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to follow the Lord. It's impossible to believe in the Lord without faith. Maybe their faith was a little weak, but they loved the Lord. And why do I know they loved Him? It says, or did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. When the Lord explained to him all the things in the Word, in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament Scriptures about Him, their heart burned. Wow. Going on, verse 34. I'm sorry, 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So they went back and found the 11 gathered together, and then they were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And we'll read verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. They told, now they went back, found the disciples there, the other disciples there, and told them, the Lord is risen indeed. Their testimony was, the Lord is risen indeed. They had seen him, but Jesus only appeared to them for an instant. I believe that they believed that he was alive before that instant because of his testimony of the word. That's what Jesus was trying to teach them. You don't have to see me to know that I'm alive. Trust my word. He's teaching them, trust me, trust my word. But they said, the Lord is risen indeed. Wow, they were convinced now. Verse 35 again, it says, and they told what things were done in the way. More than just words, it says they told what things were done. What they had, in other words, they told what they had experienced. They shared with someone else what they had experienced. This encounter with the Lord affected their life. I tell you what, if you've ever had an encounter with the Lord, it will affect your life. I believe in the case of these two men, and I can't prove this, okay, so I'll just tell you this. It's just my opinion because their names are never mentioned again. Cleopas is not mentioned anywhere else. The other man's name is, we don't know. The story doesn't continue. It stops here, but I believe that their lives were affected. I believe they became better servants afterwards. Wow. Because again, their hearts burned within them when they heard the word. It affected them. They said to these, and they told the things were done in the way, and how he was known with them. As they were there together, he made himself known to them. They saw the Lord. Wow. So I have a couple of questions here this morning. And we'll be done in just a moment. Has the Lord made an effect on your life? That's a question that we really, truly need to think about. Has the Lord had an effect on your life? I would follow that up with this next question. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Because if He's had an effect on your life, the result of that should be that you've trusted Him as your Savior. Because His effect is... First effect in our life is to show us our need of Him. To show us our sinful condition. To show us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. He is our Savior, as we've seen in the story. Before He was resurrected, He was crucified. He died for our sins. I told you at the beginning that this day means a little something extra to me because I was baptized on Easter Sunday. And just a few weeks before that, I... Except the Lord is my Savior. I remember it very well, the effect it had on my life. I remember the next day, things began to look a little different to me. Quite different. And day by day after that, the whole world around me changed. Did the world actually change? No, nothing changed. My perspective of the world changed because God had an effect on my life. That's what God does. That's what His Word does. It will affect you. Wow. Let's think about these two men. Jesus taught them something very important. He taught them to trust the word of the Lord. Trust the word of the Lord. He taught them that by faith, trust the word of the Lord. And the faith is important in that. Incredibly. Remember? Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith in God, we cannot trust in God. Remember, these guys saw the Lord die. They saw him buried. They saw him placed in the ground, a lifeless body placed in the ground. And then they thought, well, what happens now? He's gone, they must have thought, and the other disciples as well, the other followers. But he said, I will return. They had to trust the word of the Lord. By faith, they had to trust. They didn't fully understand everything, but he said, I will return. And they had to believe him. Again, I said it before, I believe maybe these men's faith had been weakened a little bit because their physical Savior was now gone. Their great master, the teacher that they admired so much, that told them things that no one else had ever told them, that revealed things in their own lives. They saw the miracles he did. I don't know what these two men saw, but if they didn't see it, I'm sure they heard the stories passed on of Peter walking on water, the feeding of 5,000 people from an empty basket with just a little bit of food. All of these things they saw. They experienced that. And maybe their faith was a little weakened now because that physical Savior was gone. But he says, trust me. Trust my word. You know, again, we looked at Hebrews earlier. I won't go back there, but it's a very simple principle. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Again, what was faith? Complete trust in someone or something. Complete trust. Without that, we cannot believe in the Lord. I've already said that. He that cometh to God must believe, Hebrews 11:6, that he is. That who is? That God is God. We must believe that. These men realized that they were not just following a good man, although Jesus was a good man. They were following God. They were following God's word. By faith, they had to trust the Lord and trust his word. It's the same thing today. By faith, we trust the Lord and we trust his word. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior. Well, I mentioned it earlier. Very simply, we need to realize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. The Lord died in our place so that we might have our sins forgiven. He took our place. He took our sins upon himself on that cross and died. And by faith, we believe that. Again, by faith, we believe that. And we put our faith and trust in him that he did what he said he would do. And we believe. For Christians, for people who've already experienced that in our life, what a great lesson here for us as well. To trust the Lord and his word. That's it. To trust the Lord and his word. We don't always, and we won't always understand everything. We will have questions. These men had questions. We'll have things we don't understand. These men had things that happened in their lives they didn't understand. But there's an answer for all those things. God and his word. There's always an answer. God and his word. I'm going to close with one passage here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Very familiar passage, quoted a lot. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord is the idea. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I go back to these two men walking on the road that day. In their own understanding, what had happened? I don't understand. What happened? Things that he was such a great teacher, and then suddenly, they arrested him and took him away, and he's gone. And some say he's not gone; his body wasn't there. And we don't understand everything. Well, don't trust in your own understanding to understand God. Is that probably too much of the word? Usage of the word understand, isn't it? In our own understanding, we can't understand God. But if we'll trust in the Lord, Proverbs says, with all thine heart and lean unto thine own understanding, verse 6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge God. In all thy ways say, you are God. And he shall direct thy paths. He will direct your path. He will show you where to go. In the example of these two men, he directed their path. They didn't understand everything. The Lord met them along the way. He revealed himself to them in just an instant. And he revealed his word to them so much more than he did his personal self. Did you notice that? He just revealed himself to them in an instant. He was gone. But as they walked along this long journey that day, what did he do? He shared God's word with them. And then gone. And their path was directed. And they immediately returned back to Jerusalem. They forgot their trip they were on, whatever they were doing. They had to go back and do what? And tell the others that their words, I won't turn there, you probably remember where I read it earlier, you may have read it yourself, where they came back and told the message, he is risen. And that's what we remember today. He is risen. So let's think about that today as we close here in just a minute, and I'll pray. He is risen. He is God. He did die in our place. He did resurrect. He is alive. And he tells us to trust in him with all our heart. Don't lean on our own understanding because I can't understand these things, but he can. And he will direct our path. He will show you where to go. If your path is that you need to trust him as your Savior, he'll show you that. He'll reveal that to you. And he will show you what you need to do. If your path is to, as a Christian, that you need to surrender more to him or obey his word, whatever it is, so just, I have questions. I have things I don't understand. Trust in the Lord, and he will direct your path. Let's pray. Father, Lord in heaven, thank you so much, dear Lord, for the day. Thank you for Resurrection Day, the day we remember your resurrection. How you overcame death and hell and the grave and gave us life. Through your death, you gave us life, eternal life. What a blessing it is. If we put our faith and trust in you, we can eternally be with you forever in heaven. What a blessing that is, Lord. I pray for anyone hearing this, Lord, that they would understand. What a blessing, what an important principle that is. God, if there's someone who's never trusted you as their Savior, they will see that you died in their place. And if we believe on you, we might have eternal life. What a blessing. Lord, for Christians, for those of us who have trusted you as our Savior, we need you every day, God. We need to do what the wonderful message you give us there in Proverbs, to trust in you with all our heart, to not lean on our own understanding, on our own ways, but to lean on you. And if we will do that and just submit to you, you will direct our path. You promise us that. That's a promise that you will keep. Thank you, God, so much. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.